Greetings. My name is Nick, and I'm one of the pastors here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. I want to welcome you to our online service for Sunday, April 11th. For many of you, it will likely be immediately obvious, but joining you once again from our home here today. As with the previous stay-at-home order that was in effect earlier this year, our intention, our hope as church leadership is to align with that as closely as we can, and so working from home, and that includes recording these service elements and patching them together afterwards. And so grateful for the technology to be able to do that, and for the support with those volunteers who helped put that together. Because I'm at home today, I can do a little bit of show and tell, and so I have with me a little bowl of salad. And I have it with me because it has to do with the new sermon series that we're starting today. The series is called A Fellowship of Difference, and is based on a book by that same name by a Bible teacher and writer named Scott McKnight. One of the central ideas for this book that McKnight has is that the church should be something like a mixed salad. And by that he means that like a salad, it should be made up of all sorts of different people. And so I try to show you my little salad here, if I can do it without tipping it out. Nothing fancy, just using what we had in the fridge today. Made up of all these different elements. There's lettuce and carrots and tomatoes and beets. I know not everyone loves beets on their salads, but I do. And so he has this idea that churches should be something like that. Often churches, he says, are made up of people who look more or less similar to us, or think or act or live in similar ways to us. Or churches can be based on this vision for that, which he says is kind of like preparing a salad that's just made up entirely of raisins, or maybe it's only shredded carrots or something like that. And so Scott McKnight in his book offers these encouragements about how the church can be this diverse and yet unified expression that God intended it to be. In Scripture, we find all sorts of different images and metaphors for this. Maybe think of Paul's idea that the church is kind of like a body that is made up of all these different parts and yet held together as one unit in Christ. In this book, he talks about it being like a salad. And so one of the ways of working towards that that Scott McKnight talks about is extending grace, which is what Taya, our youth worker Taya, will be reflecting on as she preaches for us today. And so looking forward to hearing that in just a few minutes. She didn't also prepare a salad for her illustration. If she did, I'm sure it'll be a different one and made up of different things. Just by means of announcements before we begin, I would just encourage you to look through our bulletin for information about upcoming online services and activities. If you're not on one of our bulletin lists, would encourage you to be in contact with our office and we can add you to there. And again, if you need to get a hold of us, any one of us as pastors, please contact us at home if at all possible during this time, as we're not coming into the office these days. I'll now read for you our call to worship, which comes from Psalm 145, verses 1 to 9. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your work to another and tells your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on all your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. We'll now hear a song played for us by Trudy. All the music for today was recorded in the sanctuary before lockdown and stay-at-home orders came into effect. Blessings on the rest of our time. Thank you. invite you to please pray with me now. God, we're so grateful for these spring days, for the warm touch of sunlight on our skin, for planters to seed and gardens to work in, for backyard projects to busy ourselves with, for the ease of unbundled walks down the street, for dusted off chairs to set on porches and patios, and for long drives through the countryside as it slowly greens. God, we delight in the goodness of your creation, which bursts forth with new life and declares your glory even as the world struggles on these days. God, we seek your help as we return to life under a stay-at-home order again. For some of us, God, it feels like nothing's changed. And for some of us, God, it feels like nothing will change. And so we ask that you would bring life to our weary souls, God. Bring life to our exhausted spirits and to our tired and worn out bodies. Thank you for the grace you show us, God, in all of this. Help us to show grace to one another as well, knowing that others are struggling just as we are, knowing that in one way or another, everyone is having a hard time right now, knowing that no one is at their best or anywhere near it. And so God, help us to be patient with one another and with ourselves. God, help us be kind to one another and to ourselves. God, help us as families and as community to continue to support each other well, so that we can make our way through this. God, we pray for our church today. We lift up our needs and the needs of others as they come to our minds. We thank you for those who continue to serve in our midst, for those who reach out to provide connection, for those who host classes and calls, those who play parts in our services, and those who prepare them. God, we pray for those shoulders on whom this work rests in this time. We pray for strength and focus and purpose in our ministry as church. God, we pray for our community and our country in this time, for those who will continue to go out and do essential work these weeks, for those who are working so tirelessly to vaccinate the public, for students and teachers with all the uncertainty and the challenges they face in these days, and for our politicians and public health leaders and the decisions they need to make each day. God, we lay before you the rest of our time now. May you bless the reading of your words. May you bless your servant as she speaks, and may you bless the gifts we've given by the means that we're able to in this time. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Would you please join me in a word of prayer? Gracious God, we give you thanks for this morning. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds to that which you would have us learn and understand. Amen. Well, once again, good morning. It is a joy to be bringing you the message today. And it is all the more joyful because we are beginning a new four-part sermon series today entitled Fellowship of Difference. Difference being the plural of different, so ending in E-N-T-S, not meaning the ways in which things are not the same. So ending in E-N-C-E, not that way. It's a rather clever play on words. And I realized when I was preparing for this morning that that could cause a bit of a conundrum without a slideshow or anything behind me or anything written in front to keep it clear. But I will try my best to keep it clear. So yes, Fellowship of Difference. This series is based on a book of the same title, written by Scott McKnight, who is an author and professor. And it revolves around the thought that the purpose of the church as a community and as a family is to bring difference, TS, difference together, to share in life, and to demonstrate to the world what God created peace, love, grace, and life together to be. In one of the introductory chapters of the book, McKnight briefly talks about his experience growing up in his home church and shares the idea that everything we learn about the Christian life, we learn from our church. So our local church shapes us and what we perceive and learn of the Christian life. So whether or not one finds themselves involved with or even familiar with their local church, its activities, its mission, its outreach, its community presence, or a lack thereof, that communicates to the surrounding area something about the Christian life, or at least that's that church's interpretation of the Christian life. Now, we all know each church is incredibly unique. That's what makes a church family and community so special. However, if we are all experiencing church in a different way and in a different environment, McKnight poses the question that recurs throughout his book. What is the church supposed to be? And in turn, if the church is what it is supposed to be, what does the Christian life look like? He shares a list of central themes to the Christian life, all of which are necessary. And from that list, we will be studying four together over these next few weeks. Grace, love, the table, and flourishing, or what it means to flourish within the Christian life. So we'll be looking at these two questions: what is the church supposed to be, and if the church is what it's supposed to be, what does the Christian life look like? We'll be looking at those through those four lenses of grace, love, the table, and what it means to flourish. So let's dive in together. Throughout the book, A Fellowship of Difference, McKnight uses the illustration of a salad bowl. In fact, that's how the book begins, and I think it's a rather clever illustration. He writes that there are three ways to eat a salad: the American way, the weird way, and the right way. Now, I would say, in this instance, the American way could also be called the Canadian way. I don't feel it is specific to one country. So when we hear that reference within the quote, we will consider that McKnight is speaking to us up here in the North as well. So he writes, "The American way of eating a salad is to fill your bowl with some iceberg lettuce or some spinach leaves, some tomato slices and olives, maybe some carrots, and then smother it with salad dressing, ranch or Thousand Island or Italian, or for special occasions, Caesar. The weird way is to separate each item in your salad around on your plate, then eat them as separate items. People who do this often do not even use dressing. Weird. Now, the right way to make and eat a salad is to gather all your ingredients, some spinach, kale, chard, arugula, iceberg lettuce, if you must, and chop them into smaller bits. Then cut up some tomatoes, carrots, onions, red peppers, and purple cabbage. Add some nuts and dried berries, sprinkle some pecorino romano cheese, and finally, drizzle over the salad some good olive oil, which somehow brings the taste of each item to its fullest. Surely this is what God meant, and God intended, when he created mixed salad." Now, I don't share this quote to shame or influence the way you eat your salad. I don't want you to stop eating your vegetables. If you like to eat the ingredients separate, keep on doing it that way. If you like a simpler salad with a lot of dressing, I hope you enjoy it. I will say I personally enjoy a very basic salad. I eat mine the Canadian way. The same anticipated ingredients, lettuce, and a few toppings that are always the same. And I'm a big fan of balsamic dressing. But I urge us to think about the way we view church in this same illustration. Do we expect little creativity, always the same ingredients, drenched in the same dressing that alters the flavor of the included ingredients, to basically all taste the same? Or do we prioritize eating a vast variety of ingredients? Change it up a little. Are we open to the possibility of having a new type of ingredient altogether? Do we consider the thought of dried fruit being included? And instead of the same dressing, an oil, maybe even an oil and vinegar, that enhances the already present flavors instead of altering or even taking some of the flavor away? Do we make the exact same salad for each and every meal because that's what we're comfortable with? And so that's the way it always will be. I can't say I ever thought I'd say this within a message, but I think it's an important question. What does the way we make a salad mean for our church? So let's put the salad down for a minute and take a look at our scripture reading for this morning. We're in the book of Ephesians, in a passage that is familiar to most, I'm sure. It's a favorite, and for good reason. It's an impactful reminder of the goodness of the God we love and the grace he extends to us, all wrapped up in a beautiful gift. Who doesn't love to hear that they are loved unconditionally? In the verses immediately preceding our reading this morning, it's not as lovely a place to spend time in compared to verses 4 to 10. The chapter opens with a rather bleak before image compared to the after. In the before, Paul says, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And moves on to, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And as much as we know that's not a place we would want to stay, and deserving of wrath, I also know, in thinking of our imperfection, it's probably a more fitting place than one of unending grace. But thankfully, so quickly it changes. Verse 4 starts, "But because of his great love for us." We're down in the slump, deserving of wrath, but we are lovingly brought out of that despair. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." God making something alive that once was dead. That sounds familiar. But here's the kicker. It is by grace you have been saved. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And then we're reminded again, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Talk about the ultimate gift. It's sometimes an incomprehensible thought for me. The Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, chose to save me and all of us. And reading these verses written by Paul and knowing the journey he was on to becoming a follower of Jesus, I'm sure at times it was incomprehensible for him too. I mean, if there was anyone deserving of wrath in the name of Jesus, it would be Paul, the man who persecuted those same people he would one day join together with. Now, this is important to consider what God's grace means to us, what it means to our world as a whole, and what it is to look like for us to share God's grace with those we have met and will meet. We consider our questions. What is the church supposed to be? And what does the Christian life look like? Well, what we know of the imperfect world we live in, we immediately gives us the thought that grace is something that needs to be earned. How could one possibly expect to receive such a blessing? And being part of a church and member of the community, we've grown and learned. We've heard many a sermon and more than likely done a Bible study or four. And sometimes, instead of that reminding us that God's grace is freely given to all, our focus ends up on our works, what we were warned of in the text. We know things. We know a lot of important and vital things that we feel, or that we know, are imperative to living the Christian life, quote unquote, right. We're experienced. We know things. Things that other people maybe don't know. Or they know, but they don't care to follow through with them. We get frustrated when we see or hear things like, "Oh, weekly church attendance is optional." It's more of a, "We'll see how I'm feeling that day" kind of arrangement. Or, "Yeah, my Bible's a little dusty. I haven't cracked it open in a while, but it's okay. It's sitting there. I'll get to it." Or, "A little gossip never hurt anyone. Did you hear about this?" How can it be that they, the collective they, deserve the Lord's grace just as much as we, active and caring members of a church family, deserve it also? Not by works, so that no one can boast. We don't even have the slightest opportunity to think that we are given this ultimate gift because of something wonderful we've done. There's no number of good deeds that could earn this for us. Now, that's not to say that attending church each Sunday, virtually or in person, and reading our Bible are things that are not important. Of course they are. It doesn't mean that we just get to do whatever we want, not consider the consequences, and all will be well. But it's inaccurate and detrimental to our relationship with others and truly our relationship with God to have the mindset that we earn his love and grace. Because when we don't allow the power of God's free will offering of grace to sink in, and we keep it at arm's length by continuing to earn it, or thinking that we're earning it, we are missing out on so much depth in our relationship with him. The power of this incomprehensible, radical salvation is not from us. Unfortunately, there's no gold star sticker chart keeping track of all our good deeds to earn extra credit. The power comes from God. God gets the honor and the glory. We can so very easily get caught up in the idea and the fear that our salvation is conditional, that there could be danger in us losing out on the grace God has poured out for us. And we need to make space for God's grace. But making space for grace is so hard. It's one of the most difficult things. I mean, it's easy for us to be gracious to people we agree with, or people we enjoy spending time with, people who have the same thoughts we think and the same values that we value, and are on a similar path that we're journeying on. But it can be so difficult to extend grace to other people, people we don't agree with or get along with, people who are on a whole other trail than we're on, like probably a trail in another park, people we frankly just don't understand. They're our difference, TS. It may be bold to hear, but I think it's important to consider that there are people that we being not necessarily us specifically, but we as a whole, as a Christian community, there are people that we feel that the difference, TS, they don't belong metaphorically here. They aren't welcomed within the broader church community. We're just too different. And I understand some may agree with me and some may not. We don't want to think of ourselves as being exclusive. And maybe your initial feeling when you consider that idea is something to be reflected on, whether or not you agree or disagree. But once again, we are shown and reminded that God was thinking ahead. He's already given us an answer to our many rebuttal arguments about why we feel that these differences are just too different and that we just can't do anything about it. For we are God's handiwork, Paul writes, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's already prepared the way and given us the ability to do good works, to extend grace to our neighbor. And we know our neighbor is everyone. Our only priority is to be welcoming to others. We know that when God creates, he creates with intention and purpose and love and grace. And he has prepared good works and prepared us to do them. Ultimately, it's up to us to choose if we will practice that which he has prepared us to do. So what does this mean for us? What do we do with grace? Well, I think we take note from the most effective and impactful teacher of all time. We go to Luke 15 and we read the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the prodigal son. We read of the parable of the workers in the vineyard in Matthew chapter 20. We all know the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. And we know from our text from this morning that God's grace is not rooted in wrath or judgment or anger. We were deserving of wrath, but thankfully for us, God's grace comes from his great love for us. His grace springs forth from love. And we can know and remember that even when we feel as though we are showing grace, if it's not coming from a place of love, perhaps we need to reevaluate. We must remember that we are all different, whether we want to believe it or not. None of us are deserving of the remarkable gift from God, the gift of everything. We all have a before and after, as in our text. And it's natural to want to ignore the before. We don't want to imagine our lives deserving of wrath and without the presence of God. But how much more beautiful is the after? How much more meaningful when we are mindful of our before and make space for the grace that creates the wonderful after? Now back to the salad. How much easier is it to just make our salad with the same ingredients every day? Of course that's easier. We know what we like. There's no room for error or distaste. It's the way we've always made it. But the world of possibility that is out there, we don't even realize it. We may learn we love the flavor-enhancing olive oil. We appreciate different types of lettuces and greens when we open ourselves up and welcome it. I don't know about you, but hearing that I could be a flavor-enhancing olive oil, that I could walk with someone as they maneuver their way to finding their truest and fullest identity with God, that sounds rather joyful to me. When we make space for new things, be it in our salad or in our church, we make space for the goodness, tenderness, and grace that is given to us through Christ from God. Through Christ's resurrection and his victorious triumph over sin and death that we celebrated just last Sunday, our hope of salvation is made known and confirmed. The job is done. Our undeserving reward is given. We share in the resurrection and are called to witness to the favor of grace with which we've been blessed. To close off, a snippet from the book. McKnight writes, "Grace is the opening word that tumbles out of Paul's mouth. Grace is more than being lucky to be on God's side. Grace is God's goodness showered on people who have failed. Grace is God's love on those who think they are unlovable. Grace is God knowing what we are designed to be. Grace is God believing in us when we have given up. Grace is someone at the end of their rope finding new strength. But there's more to grace. Grace is both a place and a power. Grace is God unleashing his transforming power. Grace realigns and reroots a life and a community. Grace is when you turn your worst enemy into your best friend. Grace takes people as they are and makes them what they can be. Grace ennobles. Grace empowers. Grace forgives. Grace frees. Grace transcends. and grace transforms. Amen. So much for worshiping with us this morning. May you go with these words of blessing from the book of Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.